Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
My children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the
happened there, but we got cut off for some reason. We're experiencing some technical difficulties tonight. I was just in an ice storm. We had to have tons of electrical work done and trees trimmed and things of that nature over the last few days. I used a remote plug-in to iHeart Studio in New York and also to the Philippines, so I apologize for the technical difficulties, but we got a hell of a show for you tonight. You know, some of the greatest knowledge and some of the greatest champions of the sport are never heard, never seen. Some of the greatest knowledge that is given to these fighters in the creation, in their path forward, is done in the shadows, in the gyms, and not on television. My first guest tonight truly is a man that aspires to that. He's a tremendous brother, but even more than that, I respect him for what he brings to many avenues, from bare knuckle to the UFC to Bellator to Muay Thai to you name it. Let's welcome the coach of champions, Jonathan Balgon. Jonathan, how you doing, brother?
Hey. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on your show. How you doing, Don McGuire?
Man, you asked the wrong person that, bro. You asked the wrong person that because 2020 was crap, and very early in the morning of 2021, we got hit, like I said, with a major ice storm. I thought my house was going to be gone in the morning or have severe damage, but thank God we didn't have any damage really per se to the house, but the trees, the electrical lines and everything, it was chaos. And, you know, I sat there and I looked at myself in the mirror and I go, I thought I did away with 2020. And if this is the way 2021 is going to start out, I'd rather go back to 2020. But, you know, me and you, we're knowledgeable. We've been around for a minute. How has this change of life perplexed you? Because you nor I have ever been down this path before.
You know what? With this SARS-CoV virus affecting everybody. I mean, the whole society. It's like a big society change. I mean, we can't, you know, hug each other. You can't. It's tough. It's really tough. I mean, I think it really, you know, we were talking about, like, believing in your faith and learning how to trust and the people that think that that will help you in the end of the day, and you actually find out, you know, you were telling me that story, you know, it's rough. It's rough because it brings out who people are really are, what, you know, who they really are. It's tough.
We truly are seeing that now today, but, you know, I don't want the whole show to be kind of on that premise. You know, you're out there in Vegas right now, but you've touched many in different avenues of the sport. You posted a picture, I believe, about 4 or 5 hours ago from the UFC Institute. Can you kind of let us in on a little secret of what you're doing there with Henry Cejudo?
He's training with Alexander Capoeira Almeida. He's the PFL champion, and they were working on. It was a little bit way back when Jacquier was fighting, and actually it wasn't Jacquier. It was Alan Nugget. He was fighting. He lost his fight, but they were working on a game plan against the cage, and it was like video, and so I captured a photo shot. But yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. I work with all these guys.
What? I know you're like me, and we'll get there in a second. But you know, Rami Zayd and Ibrahim was supposed to be on the show with us tonight, but unfortunately, his fighters fought last night. Well. Fortunately,
yeah,
I will
really
say,
well.
Because they won. But he's on a plane right now, so we were going to talk the origins of Muay Thai, you know, the different traditional aspects. But we'll do that on another show. But, you know, I do want to ask you, what does the Way Crew mean to you?
Way Crew is, like, very, like, spiritual. You know, Way Crew, number one, is respect, right? So respect. For your teacher, respect for your parents, and then respect for your countrymen. But it's a very spiritual when you do the White Crew. You know, it's back all the way in the ancient times when, you know, before they go to battle, to be blessed before they go to war. It's a lot of meaning. There's a different styles of the White Crew, the different dances, depending on what camp they're from, what village, who's their own crew, the Ajarn. You know, they have specific styles of dance. But it's, to me, it's from your teacher passed on to the student. And two things, spiritual connection, both for respect and to remember, you know, to remember the past.
See, a lot of people correlate the true aspects of Muay Thai with kickboxing, and then it kind of got watered down here in the States. And I, being a true Muay Thai freak, that kind of bothers me because I've shot Buckeye before, and, you know, I understand that style of life. You know, people don't even understand that it's called eight-limb strikers for a certain relevance, a certain meaning, you know, meaning two fists, two knees, etc. You know, and then I got to meet Crew Yawadi Hurst, the youngest female ever inducted into the Muay Thai Hall of Fame or as a crew in Thailand. And her father was a monk. And You know how it is in Thailand. That doesn't fly. And as a little girl, she used to sneak out and fight for food. She would sneak out and fight for shoes or books. And then on her father's deathbed, he looks at her and he tells her, you know, I want you to teach me Muay Thai. Now, mind you, he's a Shaolin monk. And in Thailand, the women are supposed to stay at home and work.
Yeah.
So essentially what he was telling her was he was proud of her. You know, when you look at the aspect of eight limb strikers, the beginning, the truth, the aspect to Muay Thai, what part of that truly creates and indulges you and allows you to give knowledge to some of these fighters moving forward?
You know, definitely I start off with having the discipline, you know, because all the fighters, you can separate everyone, but like, you know, this is martial arts, right? And martial arts, it has heritage. In every art, there's heritage where it came from the beginning and till now. So if you go back, you understand it's a lot of discipline. You know, the fighters, they have heart and they show their determination, their learning skill. But you also have to be disciplined in life. And one thing is that the discipline goes a long way. You know, it's also how you treat people. You know, it's not just being a really great fighter or a champion or whoever you are in martial arts. Not just you being good, it's actually your discipline. You know, do you show what kind of person you are? It's really tough because everybody have their own way, their attitude, and how they treat people. But the discipline is, to me, is super important because you got to practice what you preach. You know, you just can't go out there and start fighting people, but it happens, you know, it happens to a lot of people. But it's important, the discipline is carried through to training, through how you talk to people, how you treat people, how you respect your parents and your family. And, you know, it will show what kind of person you are in the martial arts. Discipline.
You know, I've known you for quite a bit, and you give others knowledge. You give others the tools that they need to be successful. You share thoughts, you share wisdom, and you watch these fighters grow. Who was it that instilled that knowledge in Jonathan Volgon?
You know what? I tell you, first thing I want to say is to everyone that's listening is nobody is perfect, right? You know, even for me, you know, I make so much mistakes in the past, and I'm a kind of person that really works hard to what I get in life. And, you know, I had really good teachers. You know, I had good mentors, but they were really disciplined, and they make me work really hard for what I wanted to learn. And I, you know, Master Tong, Master Chan, Master Kong Napa. Man, it was just so much teachers. You know, the thing is, we're here to be the best of who we are, you know. And I want to be the best of who I am, not to really to prove anything to anybody, but to become the best of who I am. And, you know, I'm not saying I look up to me. What I'm saying is I try to do everything the best that I can. So if I can do that, I'm helping people that surround me. I'm helping them improve their life situation. I'm not giving them more problems in life. I want them to improve their situations in life. They word it the way they're thinking, the way they handle their situation, you know. And I'm always consistently improving myself in every aspect of life. And I think I had, you know, my mentors, I would say in the books I read, all my mentors, you know, the people that show an example, that work really hard and build their foundation from nothing and have something in life. You know, I appreciate that. You know, I grew up from nothing. Success was not given to me. Nothing was given to me at all. You know, I worked my ass off every day, every time. I didn't know how to speak English. I didn't know how to speak Portuguese. You know, I'm self-taught, and I work really hard for that. I mean, Lynn, I think I learned that in a young age, just growing up, you know?
Yeah. You know, I respect you because, you know, I'm 56, and I think I have an understanding of life. Well, I thought I did until 2020 came along, but, you know, I'm going to do an elephant in the room question with you because I want to see where your perspective thought leads. Okay, let's go.
Throw that one.
I want to get your thoughts because there's three people that are in my life. You can go Sanchai, you can go Buckow, or Rami Zayden Abraham. If you had to take a fighter to go into war, which fighter would you choose?
I think Rami. No, you know what? You want to know the truth? You know, Rami is the kind of believes so much, he'll sacrifice everything in what he believes in. And the thing is, he believes in the right things. And he's a man, a man of God. That means like everything he does it to the righteousness. And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, like I give you, for example, these fighters, they let him put all the weight. And he knows his expectation. And he does that to himself. And he's a determined person. And you know what? Nobody else, you know, you go to war, you need somebody that's not willing to back up. And he's going to die for you. And Rami would do that.
You know, I have to agree with you. He's a tremendous brother of mine. And probably... he is a lot like you. You guys are so humble and transparent in life. And that's what, we were talking about this before the show, and you think about it. This business is a rough business. You and I have been in it a long time. I've been in it for half my life. You don't make it in business by being bullshit. Pardon my French, but you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you're either... They either take you in or they don't. Just so happens I happen to be in boxing, MMA, and Muay Thai, three different genres, three different personalities, three different families. You know, the boxing world, oh, my God, dude, if you leave for a little bit, trying to get back in the top 1% is almost like prying the teeth out
it's
of
rough.
A tiger's
yeah.
mouth. Yeah, it's rough. It just isn't going to happen. It took James Lights Out Tony to get me back where I needed to be in the sport. You know, Coach, you've worked with Fred Pierce. You've worked with several UFC fighters. You've catapulted yourself this last couple of years all across different genres. How hard is it for you, for someone like you, to 1 week be with a bare-knuckle fighter, the next week be with an MMA fighter, the following day be with a Muay Thai fighter? How do you transgender into that?
You know what? That's a really great question. So that's actually my secret, but I'll spit it out. I'll give people what they want to hear. But look, it's all about, like I say, it starts from discipline, you know. I want to help people out. So number one thing is my goal, what keeps me awake, is I'm excited to learn something new every day and teach it and learn something and then teach it again. So I'm motivated, right? So with all these different arts, like boxing, that's an art. Muay Thai, that's an art. Boxing, that's an art. MMA, that's another art. It has, includes wrestling and jiu-jitsu and judo and karate, taekwondo. And so the excitement of that is that it's always the challenge. The challenge is like the sport is consistently evolving. So every day I have to be on top of my game. How do you stay on top of a continuous evolving sport, especially for boxing, MMA, and kickboxing? And you can see, like, just recently, everybody got knocked out with body shots. Nobody was going for the headshot. Everybody got knocked out for a body shot. And Bach could see how that sport evolved. And then you can see MMA, a lot of guys switch their stance. A little bit in kickboxing, but for MMA, with Adesanya, guys like the guy I work, two guys that I worked with, Michelle Pereira and Johnny Walker, they were really weird guys to train with because their style was so awkward. And just holding fight for them was just insane. They would do certain moves, and it's like, okay, better do this move, because if you do this move, and then if you do that move, I'm going to catch you, so you better block this move, and then do this move, and then I got to speak both of their languages that I don't even speak, and it's like lost in translation, and I enjoy that. I think all of us, everyone, like today, they should enjoy not having a fucking job so they could actually understand having a job, having to build up their own goals and their own lessons, learning from that, and then moving on forward. And it's all a lesson to me, and I enjoy that. I love the challenge. I love learning something new, and I love teaching, and I love coaching.
Well, you're doing a hell of a job of it, brother. You really are. You know, I get a couple more questions, and then we'll kind of wrap things up here for the night. You know, you've trained and touched so many young fighters and veterans and champions of the sport. If you had to paraphrase or look over your shoulder and come up with a statement about what all these years of fighters looking up to you, realizing that you're an aspect that they needed in their life to create change. If you had to paraphrase a statement, what does it mean for you to have gained the respect of the fighters, gained the respect of the sport, and truly solidify yourself as a true aspect and a coach and a mentor?
You know, I don't know about the other coaches. I could speak for myself, but, you know, one thing, being part of this sport, I wanted to do is learn to be a good coach, like learn how to treat a fighter, you know. And I got my ass kicked when I was, you know, going learning how to fight and train, and, you know, learning what, actually going through like different coaches. And, you know, one time I was in a Muay Thai fight and my coach didn't show up, and that broke my heart, you know. And so going through those experiences, I think, like, I wanted to make a difference in a fighter's life. And I know the world is not perfect, but I do my best to help the fighter to improve their situation. And I'm not I do everything I can to change their mindset so their life would be better. It's not about me. At the end of the day, it's a thesis for every fighter, every coach, what they decide to do and what they want to make a difference in people's lives. Because at the end of the day, like today, I had a new student, and he was blown away, you know. And he never kicked in his life. And he threw a left kick and perfect, and he's like, oh, God. I said, how'd you do? And he was so, so happy, you know. And you know what's crazy? He went to all these coaches around town, and he wasn't happy about that. They treat him like shit. They pushed him around, like, they put him, you know, and it was tough because I was that person. I was a nobody, and I know how it feels to be a nobody, you know. So I put myself in that position, and being a coach, you know, I just want to help improve people's lives and how they think and how they walk that path. And that path is not easy, you know. And so I just try to do my best. That's all.
Well, Coach, you truly have made a tremendous impact on the sport. You've truly made a tremendous impact on me. I get to interview a lot of these fighters that you deal with, and your name comes up time and time again. And that means you're making a difference. And that's what true coaches are supposed to do. You know, and when you do what you're supposed to do, fighters, they share the knowledge, they share the wisdom, and they share your name. I can't tell you how many times in the last year your name has come up on my show through different fighters. You're creating a difference. You're building the sport. You're creating a future. And that's such a tremendous thing. But because you're so humble about it. That, to my listeners, if you don't understand Coach Balgon by now, then I can't help you there. But he's the type of man that will pick an old lady up in the middle of the street that has fallen down, and he won't tell nobody about it. Why? Because he would rather relish it in his heart than to go onto social media and brag about it. And to me, that's a true warrior. And Coach, that's what you truly represent to me and to all the fighters that you back and support. If there was a statement you could make to all the fighters that have truly come to you for guidance, what would that statement of thanks be, sir?
You know, in the beginning, in how I started, and with all the students I've experienced through this martial arts journey and being a coach, you know, everybody wants to learn something. And I think being a coach is, you know, it's our responsibility, at least, even if they're not the best fighter in the world or they're just somebody, a student, accept them for whom they are and then give them your best advice to guide them to their own path and journey. Because in the end of the day, there's a reason why you're in your position and what you're doing. And I believe I was given this talent and ability to guide students, fighters, people to where they need to get to. And you know, I'm happy if I changed a lot of lives and their lives got them better. You know, I try my best every day about even me improving myself, and that's everybody in my circle. Because in the end of the day, you know, we're all human beings. Our job in this world is to help one another, and you can't be selfish as hell. Because if you're gonna be selfish, you be this way is to be selfish, helping people.
Amen to that. You know, Coach Balgon, you know, I'm going to kind of wrap things up here because if next Sunday, if you're free, we're going to get Rami, Zayden, Ibrahim, and you and maybe another Muay Thai practitioner, and we're going to get down and talk Muay Thai. And
Yeah,
I apologize that he wasn't able to make it this evening, but I'm also not apologetic because his team won last night, and you know it's tremendous when you have that great of a night as Coach Rami Zayden Ibrahim did. You know, Coach Volga, I'm honored time and time again to interview you. I can't even speak tonight. Interview your fighters and to have you come on my show. You know, you were dropped in my life a little while ago, and you've been a blessing ever since. And so I'm truly honored you came on the show this evening. I'm going to pass the mic to you. Tell people where they can come and find Coach of Champions and where they can find you on social media.
So,
you're breaking up there a little bit, Coach.
Could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I'm here based out of Las Vegas, Nevada, out of the Fight Capital Gym, and their head Muay Thai MMA coach. But you can also direct inbox me through Facebook. And I also have an Instagram, at Coach of Champions, or Expert Fight Coach. And then send me a message if you have any questions. You know, you don't need to fight for me, but you have any questions in which direction you want to go, what you want to do with your career, your life, shoot me question, and I'll get back to you.
Yes. Well, Coach, it truly has been an honor. I look forward to maybe us getting together next weekend and talking some Muay Thai with Rami Zayden Ibrahim. You know, you're a tremendous man. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep changing the sport.
Don.
I'm honored, brother.
One thing I
want to
say, thank you, Don.
Go ahead.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you a lot.
And without guys like you, the sport won't be like this.
I appreciate the kind words, sir. Thank you, Coach. I'll holler at you later, my brother. God bless you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Coach Jonathan Volgaum, Coach of Champions, a tremendous, humble young man. But we're going to move on with a tremendous part of the show. We've got the Silver Fox and Sergio Dabari. I'm going to go ahead and bring on the Silver Fox, but then we're going to go ahead and give Sergio a call.
Hello?
Sergio, welcome to the Fighter's Voice. This is Don McGuire, and I believe Coach Fox is on. Coach, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear
can
you just fine, sir.
Oh, perfect. All right. That's the greatest fear, by the way, is technical failures.
Well, you know, Sergio, I saw you the other day doing a show with, according to Woods, a tremendous young man coming up in journalism, a man that I really respect. And what I saw in you was a tremendous young warrior, a man dedicated to the sport, his knowledge in life and family. And then you started talking about the Silver Fox. And it caught my attention to hear the words and the heartfelt expressions you had towards Coach Fox. So I'm going to kind of put you in a hard spot for a moment here. I already told you my show is a little bit different than most shows. You know, what does it mean for you? Because it's obvious he's a tremendous mentor in your life. What did it mean for you to have that first initial meeting with him, find the difference? And now here we are in 2021 and look back and understand all the knowledge the Silver Fox gave you.
Wow. I mean, if you would have told me 11 and a half, 12 years ago that this is where I would be with Fox today, I don't know if I would have believed you. you know, Fox and I have been through a great deal together. You know, like I said before, he's like a second father to me. I'm extremely grateful to have someone like him in my corner, because one of the things about Fox is that he's incredibly genuine. He doesn't mince words, and he is very honest, sometimes brutally honest. And you need that. So to have a guy like that in my corner and kind of always try to do what's best and do the right thing and steer me in the right direction and kind of guide me to where I needed to be or where I wanted to be, it's been, when I look back at the journey, it's been a, I don't know, I guess remarkable is the word that I look for. I look back to a lot of the things that we've done together and like the accomplishments that I've had with him, you know, through his mentorship and everything. And I'm just truly grateful to have someone like him, supporting me and guiding me through it and passing on as much knowledge as he has, you know?
Yes. It's a tremendous statement. You know, Professor Pollack, I don't know if you'd rather be preferred to be called Professor Fox or Professor Pravik, but
Fox is fine, or Carl. I'm not a stickler for titles.
I love that about you. You know, what does it mean to know? You sit here and you hear Sergio say he looks at you as a second father. You walked into the sport. You competed in the sport. And at a certain aspect in time, you decided to share knowledge, but, pardon my French, but without the bullshit, you know, without, you know, everything that everybody else is trying to sell you. You just wanted to see fighters become their very best. You wanted to instill the truest knowledge in your students. What does it mean for you to hear the words of Sergio, and how much of a difference you've made in his life?
Well, I first, I truly appreciate those words. I hope that nobody cries on this thing during the next whatever half an hour to an hour, but it means that I've done something right. it's funny. I do believe that we as instructors and coaches have a broader mission than just teach people the art, just the technique. I do believe that we need to be guiding force. We're not perfect, you know, but we just try to do our best and try to do what we think is ultimately best for the school and best for the students. And, as Sergio mentioned, I usually don't mince my words. One of my favorite sayings to my guys is, if I'm screaming at you and yelling, you know, you should pay attention, but you should be glad because I still care. It's when I don't talk to you, when I shut down, that's when you really should be worried. But, hearing those words from Sergio, and, you know, we've been together for a while, and, it's we've gone through a lot of different things. And, you know, you sort of, as we're talking, you kind of remember. And it's funny, it's never those big things. Sometimes it's some stupid little thing, you know, we're in the car or whatever. And, it means a lot. It means that I've done something right. But it's very rewarding to hear that. And I've, seen Sergio mature, you know, not just, you know, obviously become very, very good on the mats, but also, you know, mature as a person. And it's very gratifying, you know.
See, this is kind of, I like this aspect because we've got the student, we've got the teacher. But then when you look back over your shoulder, there was somebody that instilled that knowledge in you, somebody that created that drive, that ambition, and that perseverance in you. Professor.
Oh, yeah. In my case, it's, you know, obviously it's, my own father that, you know, basically one of his, I still remember this when I was a kid, a lot of times you just kind of try something. And, you know, and when I say try, I use that word with quotes because you really don't give it a good shot. And, you know, you kind of don't really try, and it doesn't happen, and you fail, and you kind of move on. You know, one of the very favorite sayings is where there's a will, there's a way. You know, and if you want to do something real bad, you will find a way to do it. So, you know, that I've gotten from my own parents, but also, you know, my grandparents. But, you know, in the martial arts world, you know, I kind of look at Henzo Gracie not just as my teacher, but also sort of an example of how a coach, you know, should be at. You know, obviously teaching the best technique you can in the academy, but also trying to bring out the best in people. Whether that means for them to be a world champion, whether that means for them to be sort of just, and I don't mean that in a bad way, be a hobbyist, but somebody that gains a lot of confidence from showing to themselves how strong a character they have to really be able to suck up training for years and years. Because one thing you'll never hear me say is that jiu-jitsu is easy, or MMA, you know, is easy. It's very, very, very hard. And, you know, Henzo is that guy that, tries to guide people, not just on the mats, but off the mats as well.
Yeah, I truly feel you there. You know, I get calls from Relson Gracie quite a bit at 1 or 2 o'clock on my time in the morning, and he wants to talk for 3 hours. He's in Brazil, and I'm in the Midwest, and the time schedule kind of don't work out too great, but whenever you have somebody like that wants to drop knowledge on you, you listen. And that's what I think is great about Sergio, because your academy is prestigious and there's been quite a few things said about it. And I want to ask Sergio this question, because there was a quote made about, you know, Fox. And it says, the value of things is not the time that they last, but the intensity at which they occur. That is why they are unforgettable moments and unique people. Coach Professor Pravik is among those unique people. Lucky are those who learn under his tutelage. What are your thoughts correlated from that statement?
One of the things about Fox is that he holds everyone to the same standard, including himself. But when he's teaching and he's passing on his knowledge, you know, he wants to see everyone succeed, from the new guy that just walked in yesterday to the guys that have been on the mat with him, you know, their entire career. I can honestly say, witnessing it, he truly upholds that standard. And he holds the guys that have been around longer, like, to it very rigidly. He wants us to not only as students, but also us as instructors, to act the same way. I think he, just like Henzo, is that same example. We all look to him in that same way. And I know I myself, and I know the other guys, when they teach class, they try to have, in that aspect, we all have our own styles, but we all try to follow the same approach, and we all try to take the time to make sure that everyone is doing things right and everyone is learning the technique properly. And, you know, one of the things that he says when he's teaching, if he teaches a technique and he looks around the room and a lot of people aren't getting it, he doesn't say, you guys aren't getting it. He takes it upon himself and says, there must have been something I didn't explain properly. It must have been something I didn't show. So let's go over it again. And if it still doesn't work, he'll move on to something different that would be, you know, would be something more easy for the collective to grasp. And I think when you have someone that's got that mentality and that mindset, you know, it trickles down into the rest of us. I know I aspire to have the same effect on people when I teach, and I'm pretty sure the other guys that teach, you know, have that same idea as well. So, you know, you can really see, like, his intensity in that sense. It's something that he does, like, with that passion and pride in what he does, and just something that he does for the love of it, you know. I think for all of us, you know, we aspire to have that same level of that.
You know, Professor Pavic, I got Sergio the other day on a question when he was on this other show, and that's kind of what he was leading into on that last answer. You know, I asked him, what did pride, passion, and perseverance mean to him? And he gave a very well-articulated statement. But I want to show him the unique characteristics in individuals and how we each play our pertinent role in the sport. So in doing so, let me ask you, Professor, what does pride, passion, and perseverance mean to you?
Here's the interesting thing, and to me, it almost comes back to martial arts and what is martial arts about, you know. And I don't just mean MMA, I don't just mean Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. What martial arts are about, self-improvement. And, you know, a lot of the concepts and a lot of the lessons we learn in martial arts translate into other areas of life. You know, whether you're successful at work, you know, and other things. And, you know, if you take pride in what you do, you will want to do a good job, right? Now,
yes.
Perseverance, that's what kind of drives you through, the valleys of nobody, you know, it doesn't matter if you do something long enough time, and if it's, you know, even mid-level difficulty, it's going to have its ups and downs. And perseverance is what drives you to, you know, basically take it through the valleys and, you know, climb up, and understanding that once you hit, you know, you come out on the other side of the mountain and you're heading down slope again, that you got to stay on this, that there you will come, you know, you will hit another sort of ascent that you're going to be going back up. And that translates. It's very one of the very, very most important qualities for anybody in their life, and no matter what they, you know, endeavor to do. And passion is, you know, that's sort of a bit of an X factor, is you have to have passion for what you do. People can taste it. They can smell it. They know. I want people to love jiu-jitsu as much as I do. I see very high achieving sort of either competitors or coaches, and they're miserable on the mats. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're that miserable, why did you choose this? Why don't you want to? You could have been making pizza, you could have been doing plumbing, you could have been doing something else, which might actually be easier than this. So passion is sort of what helps us convey that message to the technique, whether it's technique or principles or way of doing things or whatever it is. It helps us convey it to others, and people can feel it. And they, you know, even if they don't quite believe initially, they sense it as like, okay, there's something to it because this guy really likes it. And I'm really curious to see that makes him like it so much.
See, I love that answer. And the reason I did it to you, Sergio, was kind of to correlate a thought, because I asked Kung Lee the same question. And he said it's the martial way of life. It's martial arts. It's who a true martial artist is. That's what pride, passion, and perseverance is. And then you get Fox's answer, and you kind of correlate down to the answer you gave. And see, you see the growth, the respect, and the maturity and who we are as practitioners and who we are as fighters and the path that we walk on. Sergio, what do you hope to achieve through the teachings, Professor Fox?
Well, through the teachings of Fox, there's a couple of things. I think one of the biggest things for him is, as much as he would love to see us all achieve our goals as athletes, whether it be a jiu-jitsu world champion or MMA world champion or anything of the like. He genuinely wants us to be better people. And you can see that in the way that, you know, he takes his time to, like he mentioned earlier, you know, kind of be a mentor and kind of guide people. And you can see the way that he, the way that he does that, that, you know, whenever someone is a little bit off, you know, and he notices it, or, you know, he himself will get involved and ask what's going on, you know, and he's done it to me and he's done it to many of the other people at the Academy. You know, or if we're, you know, having trouble or whatever, you know, he's always there to kind of be there to help you and guide you along the way. But through his teachings and through the lessons that you learn on the mat, through, you know, maybe you got your ass kicked today, or maybe, you know, you're in one of those valleys he's talking about, like that the lesson of just pushing through it and persevering it and getting to that next point where you finally hit that upswing and you're on your way back, like that translates into life anywhere. When life kicks you and you're down, you know, it's just a matter of kind of just picking yourself back up and getting back on your feet and, you know, in this sense, putting your hands up and moving forward. You know, because I truly believe life is a fight for a lot of people. And fighting is a great metaphor for that. So, you know, I think one of the things that, as much as, like I said, as much as he would love to see us all achieve our goals, and he does his best to give us the tools that we need to get there, I think his biggest concern is just making everyone in the Academy just an all-around better human, you know, through martial arts.
I have to agree with you there. You know, Professor, has Sergio ever tried to bribe you with his mother's lasagna? And, you know, because we know that's his favorite dish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very good. Oh, yeah.
You know, this is unique because you don't find generally anymore, speaking, I'm 56 years old and I come across it very rarely, to have a student that has been there from white to black. And not only do you train with them on the mats, but you also train with them in the MMA aspect. So when you look at it, are you that much harder on Sergio compared to other students?
No. But I'm, you know, I'm harder on him and the senior guys, the, you know, the other black belts, the core guys, because I want them to, because, you know, they've shown me what they can do. And I, you know, when I believe that you have ability to achieve something, I will, you know, I will have higher expectations of you. And I have that for Sergio, and I have that for probably another, you know, possibly 10 people or so. And then there's the next ring, which is sort of some of the up and comers that have been with the Academy for a while that have, you know, shown that, you know, or at least they say they want to do this. And I don't encourage people to fight MMA because it's a very, very hard life. But, you know, I try to help them achieve their goals, whatever they may be. And you know, if you train consistently, you train hard, and you train, you know, you build up enough technique. Yeah, if you want to fight MMA, that's part of your martial arts journey. I will support you as long as you put in the time and effort. But I don't think I'm harder on him. He may think so, but I don't think I'm harder on him than, you know, the few other guys.
That's tremendous. You know, Sergio, you're a tremendous young fighter. You've got tremendous potential. You've been around for, you know, quite a few years now. Where would you like to see yourself arise to in 2021 under the tutelage of Silver Fox? And what are your admirations for this new year coming?
I'd like to, with this injury that I have, my face, my jaw was broken in the last fight. So I'm still in the process of healing. I'd like to heal up, and I'd like to get back to fighting again, obviously. I'd like to get a good anywhere from 3 to 5 fights in this year. You know, that's my goal. I'm not sure where I stand at this point with the promotions and what's going on. But, you know, I'd like to just get back to winning. You know, it's nice to get back in the win column, especially after suffering my first finish. You know, and basically I'd like to, with fighting aside, I'd like to also kind of just generally continue to improve in all aspects of my life, you know, in my professional life, at work, or everything. You know, I'd like to just continue to grow as a person, and I think Fox is a great mentor for someone to have, to someone to just in general talk and bounce ideas off of, you know, whenever I feel stuck or whatever. You know, I'll have conversations with him, and you know, he'll give me his truthful input, and kind of just, you know, tell me how he feels, and tell me what he thinks would be a good, you know, segue for me following the conversation. And I like to weigh those things out that he says. And obviously he never forces me to do anything. Everything that I do is on my own, but he does try to give me the knowledge and the information going into something so that I can make the best educated decision for myself. So, you know, I can't really specify outside of the fighting realm, but I'd like to just, you know, continue to, I'd like to get back in the win column, you know, really start to get my name out there again. I just knocked on the door. Well, I said it in the previous interview. I just knocked on the door of Bellator. I'm not content with just knocking on the door. I want to kick the door down and really make a statement. And, you know, I'd like to not only Silver Fox, but also my coaches at North Jersey Muay Thai, I'd like to get their name out there as well, because these are the guys that I put work in with every day on a daily basis, and I'd like to let, just like, you know, everybody that you have on the show, I'd like their names to be the, like, a household name as well, you know, and that's kind of just where my mind is at the moment.
I like where your mind is at, son. I really do. See, because everybody can see what they want on the internet and on television, but they really don't. Like I told you when we talked the other day, they really don't get to know the fighter, and they're going to kind of get to know you tonight just a little bit. But it's cool to be going to be able to go back and forth between you and Professor, because it shows the ideology and the tremendous heart and passion that you both have. It may be on different variances, but we'll put it together by the end of the show. You know, Professor, you've been in this business a long time. Let's say it's the end of the night. You mop the mats down and you turn the lights off and you look back over your shoulder and you just look at the mats and everything around it. What does that mean to you? What do you pull from that perceptive thought?
That's a very interesting question. To be honest with you, I don't quite look at it that way. You know, it'd be nice to just kind of like take a deep breath and say, you know, this is great. You know, we have beautiful atmosphere at the academy. The guys are getting real good and things like that. But the reality is, you know, I run the school as the head instructor, but also it's a business. You know, you have to make sure that, you know, the school is properly run. And at the end of the day, especially with COVID, that's become much more challenging, you know, for a variety of reasons. So usually when I finish the last class, my guys will probably appreciate it in one of our locations. I got to yell at people so I can get in the shower. And when I come out of the shower, I'm on the phone with my right-hand guy, you know, talking about, you know, who screwed up what and what's got to be fixed and how we got to deal with it. <It's> usually... So that's probably the more reality than sort of like, oh, man, you know, just enjoying the freshly mopped mats and kind of a day well spent teaching. You know, in between teaching, there's a lot of business things, you know, paying bills and, you know, doing compliance and, you know, running numbers and dealing with this guy did this and this guy did that and so forth. You know, I'm not complaining because I think people need to understand, though, that when you run a school, you will have to do things you don't want to do. Me personally, I run a school so I can train, I can teach and be sort of a guy, you know, help guys kind of have a path, you know, in their life, some sort of apprenticeship if this is what they want to pursue. But there's a lot more to it as well. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, it was kind of looking for
it's
more
not
a,
it's not a beautiful answer. It's not a beautiful sort of wrap up of the day.
No, it isn't. But I mean, I could have reframed it and redefined the question, you know. And I think I will, because you kind of ducked me a little bit there, Professor. let's say
what is dug me? What does that mean?
Ducked me a little bit, you know, kind of sidestepped the question a little bit. But it's cool because I'm going to ask you in another way, and I'll get another reference. You know, you're walking across the sidewalk or a path in the park, and you run across a puddle. And for that one brief moment, you get a reflection into who you are and what you've created in the sport as a man and as a warrior. What does that perceptive reflection that you see mean to you? How does it redefine you?
I don't think it redefines me, but it does reinforce sort of me, what I'm doing. Because I think, you know, when I hear things like Sergio said in the last interview, it makes me feel like I'm on the right path because, you know, school owners, you know, I love teaching, I love training, and I could leave all the other things if I could, but I can't. But those things are the stuff that makes you want to do this, makes you want to do a better job, is because of, you know, when you hear things like, you know, you made a difference in somebody's life. And, you know, for Sergio being a fighter, and it means different things to different people. But, you know, when you see that even from, you know, somebody that's, you know, you have very, you have sort of professional, kind of quasi-professional guys. And Sergio, even though he has a full-time job, to me, I consider him a professional martial artist, not just because he fights pro MMA, but also just the way he approaches the art. And then you have quasi guys kind of that, not quite there yet. Maybe they don't train as much, but very close. But, and then you have active hobbyists, and then you have hobbyists, and, you know, a hobby is somebody that may train 2-3 times a week, you know, has a family, has a job, has other responsibilities. When you see the difference you've made in their life, how they sort of, you know, maybe when they first walk into the academy, they come in with, you know, sort of like, you know, kind of looking at the floor, kind of looking side to side, like, you know, the guy might have a rough time because at work, for whatever reason, he might have been bullied at school. But, you know, people can still be bullied even well into adult life. And, you know, when you see that guy 3 years later and you kind of look him in the eye, you kind of know this guy's not getting bullied anymore. And, you know, it's a great feeling. And I think that's one of the most rewarding things about running a martial arts school, you know, seeing that.
It's a tremendous perspective. You know, Sergio, on your last interview that I watched, you made a statement, and I respect you for this because, you know, Adam asked you about your fight in Bellator, and you just straight up said it. I'm not going to be like any other fighter. I went out there and I got starched. That's really all there is to it. You know, I look at the sport a little bit different, but I respect the way you came out and said that on the show. You know, I think a young fighter in the name of James Krause, you know, he was asked, what's it like to be 22-7? And he said, I'm not 22-7, I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. You know, so we all get these lessons, and I'm sure a professor will agree with me. We all learn lessons on this path that we travel. When you've had time now to reflect, to look back, would you say that you've truly taken from that lesson and now have immersed yourself in the warrior that you need to be moving forward?
Yeah, I absolutely feel like I've immersed myself in the lesson I learned from it. You know, it was a tough pill to swallow, to show up and to feel as great as I did. I mean, physically, mentally, like everything, I felt so good. And, you know, like I said, I got starched in 20 seconds. But, you know, going forward, like, I have this philosophy, and I mentioned it briefly in that last interview, is that, you know, everything happens for a reason, but your thoughts are the reason why things happen. You know, I truly believe that the universe will give you what you want if you truly believe in it as well. And one of the things that I feel like from the lesson was I had to learn that lesson because without it, I won't get to where I need to get. So, you know, because of COVID afterwards, they rushed me to the hospital. Because of COVID, I had no one with me. Fox wasn't allowed to come in. My corner wasn't allowed to come in. And I'm sitting there and, you know, they x-ray me and they take me off to the next place and because they can't treat it there because the bone was protruding inside my mouth and they had to take me somewhere else. So now it's my birthday. I'm sitting in the hospital alone. And I've got nothing but time to think and I'm like sulking in the misery of not only losing, but the fact that it happened so quickly and I didn't get to display who I was. And as I mentioned, that to me was the part that hurt the most. You know, I thought about it and, you know, I've had to go through the ups and downs of the pain, the emotional pain, not the physical pain, because that, you know, that goes away. But that emotional pain, as much as it does go away, it's like he said, there's that lesson there. And, you know, I felt like it was something that I needed to learn. Like that experience was an experience that I needed to go through because without it, I will never reach what I want to reach. It's going to show up somewhere down the line. It's going to show me a part of me that I didn't know. And I won't know right now looking back at it, but just like I didn't know a couple of years ago when other things happened and I look back and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, if I never suffered through this, I would have not been prepared to go through what I went through and overcome it, you know, in this past whatever. So that's the way that I'm looking at it, and that's how I feel about the lesson in that aspect, you know. And then, you know, the simple thing is that I'm going to make sure that even when I'm moving back that my hands are up high.
I see you there, brother. You know, Sergio, you touched a lot of aspects in the sport the other day on that show, and it really made me respect you. And I knew I had to bring the Silver Fox on the show with us tonight because that's just the way I roll. I'm old and I'm a little heartfelt in those things. I believe that in life we need to give back to those that created us. And I wanted the professor to know how you truly felt about him, and you expressed it that day. You've expressed it on this show today. You know, we are in life what we accept. And it's obvious that Fox has truly made a significant change in who you are. You know, you brought it up on that other show and you brought it up today. And it's tremendous to see this being implied in the sport. As I'm an old man jiu-jitsu practitioner, and, you know, we do it for love, not for money. And it's kind of weird to see jiu-jitsu fighters transition into MMA. As Professor Fox said, he doesn't really try to push people that avenue. What was it in you, Sergio, that had you pull towards the MMA side, away from just jiu-jitsu?
As I mentioned briefly on the other show, I dwelled into it a little bit, but, I got into wrestling and, pretty late. And by the time I became skilled enough, I wasn't able to achieve any type of, greatness, let's say. When I first started looking into mixed martial arts, you know, I had, as I mentioned on the other show, was, you know, I really had already loved, like, watching fighting. Like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme was a hero of mine, Bruce Lee. Like, I watched all that stuff growing up. So I already had an affection towards fighting in general. And as a kid, you grow up watching all these movies. You grow up watching Rocky and, you know, all these rags-to-riches tales of guys kind of coming from nothing and becoming world champions and becoming great and all this other stuff. And I'm not sure if that specifically impacted me, but, you know, I feel as someone who grew up watching those type of movies, I feel like it probably did mentally steer me down that way, because I really enjoyed watching that type of stuff. And when I first saw the UFC on TV, I was instantly, like, drawn to it. Like, it was something that, you know, like, I was almost hypnotized by it, by the seeing what it was. And, when I first started, you know, I told Fox that I wanted to fight MMA professionally. And the funny thing about that was my only goal, was that I just wanted to fight professionally. Like, I didn't mention that I wanted to be great. I didn't mention that I wanted to have a good record. I didn't mention that I wanted to be a world champion, because none of those things at that time I really cared about. I just kind of wanted to do it. And I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought a little bit. As I was watching that stuff, I didn't care for jiu-jitsu at the time. Like, I did not, jiu-jitsu wasn't my main thing. Like, I didn't even really know what jiu-jitsu was. So I went to a bunch of grappling tournaments, and, you know, physically I did really well. I was just a very strong wrestler, until I went to one of these tournaments, and this dude, you know, I made it through the first round, and then I go up against this next guy who's a Connecticut state champion in wrestling. And I was like, kind of like shucked it off, like, Connecticut state champ, like, the guy probably isn't even good. So sure enough, I go out and I take this guy down with ease, and he almost breaks my arm instantly. And when I went there, my goal was just basically to just learn how to defend submissions. Like, I didn't even want to have offense. I just wanted to know how to protect myself so that I could take guys down and just beat them up on the ground. Like, that's all I cared about doing. And, you know, through Fox's, just the way he taught, you know, the type of athlete that I've been is, I listen to the people around me because they know more than me. And, that's why they're coaches, or that's why they're, you know, where they are in the sport. So when he was telling me what to do, I started listening to him and I put my trust in him. And in the beginning, I genuinely did not like jiu-jitsu. I was not a fan. I was just doing it for that reason. And over the course of the next couple of months, and things started to kind of click and things started to make sense, and I started putting things together, I started to develop like a love for it. And then probably before I got my blue belt, I added the goal that I wanted to achieve a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and with mixed martial arts still in mind. So that's, I feel like the jiu-jitsu came secondary to what my original goal was. But then I just developed a love for it, you know, kind of like Fox said, like how he, you know, wants to show people that that come through the door that may not know or may not be good at it or whatever, that, oh, like this guy loves it, like maybe there's something to it. And I kind of feel like that magic rubbed off on me, and, you know, that kind of put me to where I am today.
I have to agree. You're a tremendous aspect to the sport, Sergio. I think you're going to go really, really far, and I think the passion that you hold is the key. And Professor, you create change in fighters like I've never seen. You know, what is the hardest part for you, Professor, in this era? Because we come from the era of old man jiu-jitsu, the old style. And you, as you and I, we both know times change. How hard is it to correlate your teachings to the ever-adapting environment moving forward in time?
Well, to be honest with you, for me, it's not that hard, because I literally train every single day, because I think it's important for me to be a great student so I can be a good teacher. So I do believe that that's an issue for some practitioner, that, okay, this is sort of old school jiu-jitsu. This is what works for my body or for my, or whatever. And I basically believe that jiu-jitsu has evolved tremendously, even in the last just 5-10 years. And, you know, if you look at the, you know, previous 10 years compared to 20 years before that, it's constantly evolving. And, you know, it's becoming, you know, more and more technical. The information is much easily available. You know, it's whether you could buy it, but there's a lot of free resources out there. So for me, it's a constant battle for sort of, it's an arms race, you know, where I'm constantly trying to figure out a better way for me to do it. And I say, if I can do it better than anybody else can, pretty much, because I'm not that talented. I just train a lot, but I think you need to stay ahead of the curve. And the only way to do that is constantly train, and then not just train, but actually test it out a few weeks against high level guys. And if it works on high level guys, it will work, you know, against pretty much anybody. If there's a consistency to the technique, to the performance of that technique, it's a valid technique or valid combination. So I it's very, you know, it's probably the thing that I'm most sort of anal probably about is trying to stay ahead of the curve and constantly, you know, like today I have 3 videos on my phone, that stuff that I've been playing with for literally for years. I've been using it for years, and now my senior guys start to see what I hit them with, and they start to come up with counters, and I come up with counters to their counters, and they come up, and it's a never ending arms race. And I, you know, I really love that part about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and MMA as well. And you got to make a commitment that that's important to you. And if it is, then you'll be able to do it. I think some of the guys, they basically tend to skate on their laurels and, you know, kind of think they've arrived. And I think in martial arts, you will have never arrived. The minute you think you arrived, you're basically done, because you think you know it all. And therefore you've stopped being a student. And I don't believe you could be a good teacher without being a good student.
Amen.
I hope that answers your question.
Oh, yeah, it did. You know, because I interviewed Tom DeBlas and John Velasco-Wano and many in the sport. And the perception that even though you're a black belt, every day you step in the gym, you go back to being a white belt. And for the longest time, it bothered me because I didn't really get what they were talking about. And so when I had Tom DeBlass on the show, I said, you know, when you look at it, even though you are a black belt, would you say you're a white belt each and every time you step into the gym? And he said, yes, because you're always learning. You're always growing. And he said, like you said, the minute that you think you've achieved your goal or had accomplished jiu-jitsu, you're finished. What are your thoughts? Do you think that even though you're a black belt, in your heart, you truly are a continuing white belt?
Yeah, you have to have the mentality of a perpetual student. I strongly believe that and agree with the sentiment. Is when you know, I think, you know, on Facebook, there's so many groups, you know, BJJ fanatics, grappling injuries, you know, practitioners over 30, over 40, over 50. And you know, I try to respond to a lot of people when they, because especially when you start out, you don't know. But one of the biggest problems that I see in practitioners, they go in and to them, it's like, I got my ass handed to me today. And, you know, I've been sore and I'm getting my ass handed to me. Well, what do you expect? That you walk into an academy and you're basically going to rule the roost from day one? It's just completely unrealistic, but nobody thinks of it in those terms. And I think what I try to encourage in my students, including myself, is when I go in, every single time I go in, and I'm actually sitting in my office right now and I'm looking at my plan for tomorrow, what I'm going to be working on is what I want to get slightly better. And I think when you go into training with the mentality of I'm going to go in, I'm going to try to learn a few things, not I'm going to try to nail this guy as many times as I can, or I'm going to try not to get tapped as many times. Yeah, that's what tournaments are for. That's what fights are for. But yeah, I get it. You know, it's not completely egoless. That is for sure. But I think people would be a lot happier and would understand the journey better if they went in with, okay, I'm going in today. I really want to sort of come out and say, okay, I picked this up, picked that up, picked this up. This is important to me. This is a good day. This is what I want to play with, regardless whether they got nailed by their friend 12 times in one roll.
Yeah, I like that. You know, Sergio, I think you're a tremendous young man, and you've got one of the best professors in your corner. You've got tremendous trainers and coaches behind you. And you got a good head on your shoulders. You know, I've been around Bellator for a long time, and that's one promotion that I will praise because they truly are family. And they look at people and they realize things happen in life. And so I don't think your door is actually closed there, brother. You know, Scott Coker, Ian Matthews, and Rich Cho, and it's a family. And they understand things in life happen. You know, and I think you're going to go far. Professor Fox has truly created a young man that has a vast array of knowledge and abilities. But, you know, on this final question of the interview, you know, in life we go about our business and we don't do it intentionally, but it happens. We don't give those who've pushed us when we needed that little bit of nudge, you know, those that walk beside us, not in front of us, not behind us, but those that have truly stood by us through thick and thin. We don't usually give those people the words of thanks that we truly need to give them. So I got you both on the show. So here's an opportunity for you to tell Professor Fox and others in your life what they've truly meant to you and how thankful you are for having them in your corner.
I mean, as far as with Fox, you know, I can't say enough good things about him and the things that he's helped me with, you know, lessons that I've learned and even the skills that he's taught me. You know, it truly, like I said, I'm truly grateful and blessed to have someone like him as a mentor, as I said, like a second father. Because, you know, I know he's in it as much as I'm in it. When I go out there and compete, like, he's competing with me at that point, you know, and not just him, but, like, also my other coaches as well. Like, they themselves are so involved, and they try to really do their best to bestow, like, their knowledge upon me. And I'm extremely grateful to have coaches like that, and not just Fox, but Ray and Joe at NJMT and Ognjen as a teammate and friend. You know, just I feel like I, especially with that, I think I personally have created a great environment around me between the two, between Fox and between those guys, because I feel like I truly train with some of the – I'm blessed to train with some of the best coaches and teams in the world with just those guys. And then also just my teammates that they're constantly in the gym with me just putting in work. The guys that, like, I know that for sure, like, I show up and they're definitely going to be there, you know. The guys that I know for a fact are always there to give me those hard rounds, you know, Mike, Enrique, guys that are, you know, Juan, Frankie, whenever, you know, I get a chance to roll with him, like whoever it is. And then even the guys at NJMT that give me hard rounds or hold pads for me, like Steve, Roman. And so, you know, I try to give back as much as I can, whether it's, you know, just something as simple as like a t-shirt or whatever. But like, I'm glad that you're giving me this opportunity to kind of just say it out loud and really thank everyone. And, you know, also like for the sponsors that I have as well, because it really does, like, I know like guys are shouting out their sponsors and, but like, it really, really does make a huge difference to have people that are sponsors and guys that train at the academy that are sponsoring me, that, you know, with their businesses and stuff, because they believe in me and they want to see me succeed. And, you know, it truly, truly means a lot to me. And I want to repay them by being successful so that, you know, I can pay them gratitude going forward, you know, with that. And, I mean, I think that's it. And, you know, anyone who supports me, anyone that's been a fan along the way, like just people that send kind messages, you know, even after I lost, I got a bunch of people that sent me kind messages saying, you know, keep your head up. People from Italy that, you know, I didn't even know that found out I was Italian and, you know, just through the patriotism just decided to reach out and support me. So, you know, all this stuff really, it really means a lot to me just along the way, because I was just a guy who started and I had nothing and I didn't, you know, there weren't that many people that believed in me in the beginning. So to have that many people stand behind me and just be supportive, it truly means a lot. So
that's righteous, man. You're going to go far, kid. I really think you really are. And Professor Fox, I want to ask you one last question, and we'll kind of wrap things up here. I'm going to just hit you with an off-random question. If you had to write down on a piece of paper a correlated thought, being that this is the new year, but if you had to write down on a piece of paper to be put into a time capsule for future generations to open up and get a greater understanding of who you are, Professor, what would that statement be?
You know what? Statement that you told me, perseverance, passion, and whatever the third thing was.
pride, passion, and perseverance.
Yeah. That's a, you know, basically, you know, what I was just going to say, perseverance, you know, just stay on it. Where there's a will, there's a way. It's a couple of different ways to say the same thing. Is if something is important to you, pursue it. And if you do pursue it with, you know, pride, passion, and perseverance, it will happen.
Amen to that. You know, Professor, where can people, you've made such a huge difference in so many people's lives. You know, I know a lot of people that are around the world listening right now may have been intrigued by your thought and just the type of teaching that you give, you know, because you can see through Sergio that you're not just one of those instructors that takes people's money and doesn't give them what they're paid for. You truly are family. You truly do equate yourself in your students' lives. Where can people find Silver Fox? How can they get in touch with you and become part of your program?
It's very easy. Our website is silverfoxbjj.com. On Facebook, we have Silver Fox BJ. Silver Fox is me, personal account, and then there's the Academy account. On YouTube, we have Silver Fox BJJ channel. So everything is, if you Google Silver Fox BJJ, everything pops up, silverfoxbjj.com.
People, trust me, you really want to do that. You really do. Professor, I'm truly honored
that.
And humbled you came on the show tonight. You know, I've always watched your work and admired you from afar, but when I had the opportunity to get Sergio on the show, I told him, I said, I might just bring the professor on. And now here we are. You know, it's, I think Sergio thought I was joking.
Now we're Facebook friends and everything, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been Facebook
friends
for quite a
while.
Hopefully
we get to meet in person one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm going to have to go to Jersey. But, hey, as long as we get some of Sergio's mom's lasagna, I'm good with it because he talks
about
her food.
Let me know when you're coming. She just made some. I had some just today.
Oh, man. See, I might have to make a trip earlier than I thought. But, Sergio, I truly appreciate it, man. I don't think there's enough time to share every aspect of who you are. You know, closet chef, wrestling freak, everything all in one. But, son, you keep your chin up and you keep doing what you've been given the opportunity to do through the professor and Silver Fox, because it truly has given you a path that many will never have the opportunity to grab a hold of. I truly appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Sergio, I look forward to hearing your name in the future and bringing you back on when you got a fight coming up. I think you got a great opportunity to show the world who you are. And thank you for allowing me to share your voice with my listeners and my show. And to you, Professor, I truly appreciate you taking the time out to let Sergio know how much you care and let the world get a greater understanding of your teaching and your students. I'm truly blessed to have both of you on my show tonight. I want to thank you both, and I look forward to having you both back on again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good night, gentlemen. God bless you.
Good night. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, kind of hard interviewing two people at once, but especially when they're so close like that. Hopefully I did a good enough job for you. I appreciate you tuning in. I want to give a big shout-out to the Philippines, our third week in a row in the top 10. Man, can't believe it. Different kind of show tonight, but you know what? I like showing the inner workings and different aspects. I can't even talk tonight. Different aspects of the sport. Because it truly defines us and gives us a greater knowledge of the sport we love and care so much about. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and last but not least, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie. On that note, have a good night and God bless. Thank you.
appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell.